watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between them I see clear blue sky. Without them I fly in the endless sky. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between them I see clear blue sky. Without them I fly in the endless sky. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between them I see clear blue sky. And without them I fly in the endless sky. On the inner sky drifting by. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between them I see clear blue sky. With them I fly in the endless sky. La 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 la
Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Osho Radio brings you a discourse by Osho and beautiful music from the world of Osho. Osho Radio would like to give you 1 hour of rest and relaxation, especially for those of you in the marketplace who have a very busy life. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, just listening. Thank you. Today's discourse is from the series Sufis, the People of the Path, Volume 2, Number 11. Osho is talking about the myth of change. Usually we think we need to change, we need to become, we need to do things for ourselves to become a better person. Osho is explaining from where we get these ideas. They're either political or religious, and both are based on belief. There's another way to approach a reality, and that is witnessing, the watcher on the hill. Witnessing, Osho says, is eternal.
The religion that we are creating here, the religion that we are invoking here, is not political and is not in the ordinary sense even religious. It is neither sadistic nor masochistic. It is normal. It is to be in the middle. And what is the way to be in the middle? The way to be in the middle is to be in the world and not to be of it. To be middle means to live in the world but not allow the world to live in you. To be exactly middle, in the middle, and be balanced means you are a witness to all that happens to you. Witnessing is the only foundation for a real, authentic religion. Whatsoever is has to be witnessed joyfully, ecstatically. Nothing has to be denied and rejected. All denial, all rejection will keep you in limits, and you will remain in conflict. Everything has to be accepted as it is. And you have to be a watcher. Pleasure comes, watch. Pain comes, watch. Neither be disturbed by pleasure, nor be disturbed by pain. Let your calm remain unperturbed. Let your silence remain undisturbed. Your tranquility unaffected. Pain will come and go, and pleasure will come and go. Success will come and go, and failure will come and go. And soon you will come to understand the point that it is only you who remains. Who remains? That is eternal. This witnessing is eternal. The content that float in the consciousness are temporary. One moment they are there, another moment they are gone. Don't be worried about them, either in favor or against. Don't try to possess them. Don't hold unto them, because they are going to go. They have to go. It is the very nature of things that they cannot be permanent. Something pleasant is happening. It cannot be permanent. It will have to go. And following it, something unpleasant is already getting ready. It is the rhythm of life, day and night, life and death, summer and winter. The wheel goes on moving. Don't hold and don't try to make something very, very permanent. It's not possible. The more you will try, the more frustrated you will become, because it cannot be done. And when it cannot be done, you feel defeated. You feel defeated because you have not understood one simple thing, that nothing can be static. Life is a flux. Only one thing is eternally there, and that is your consciousness, that innermost watcher. Sufis call it the watcher on the hills. The valley goes on changing, but the watcher remains on the top of the hill. Sometimes the valley is dark, and sometimes the valley is light, and sometimes there is dancing and singing, and sometimes there is weeping and crying, and the watcher sits on a hilltop and just goes on watching. By and by, the content of consciousness does not matter. Only consciousness becomes significant. That is the essential foundation of all true religion. Man has three dimensions in him: action, feeling, knowing. You can act, and you can act totally absorbed into it, and you can offer your act to God. You can act without becoming a doer. That is the first way, karma yoga. Being in action without being a doer. Let God do. Let God be in you. You efface yourself. In this the path of action, consciousness changes the content. These two things have to be understood, consciousness and content. This is all your life consists of. There is something as the knower in you and something as the known. For example, you are listening to me. Now two things are there. Whatsoever I am saying will be the content. And whatsoever you are inside you, listening, watching, that is consciousness. You are looking at me. Then my figure in your eyes is the content. And you, who is looking at that figure in the eye, is consciousness, the object and the subject. On the path of action, consciousness changes the content. That's what action is. You see, a rock is there. Somebody may stumble upon it. It is getting dark. Night is falling. You remove the rock from the path. This is act. What you have done, consciousness has changed the content. On the path of action, content is important and it has to be changed. Somebody is ill and you go and serve him. And you give him medicine. You are changing the content. Somebody has fallen in the river and is drowning, you jump in. And you save him from drowning. You have changed the content. Action is content directed. Action is will. Something has to be done. Of course, if the will remains ego-oriented, then you will not be religious. You will be great doers, but not religious. And your path will be of action, but not towards God. When you allow God to become your will, when you say, "Let thy will be mine." When you surrender your will into the feet of God and His will starts flowing through you, then it is the path of action, Karma Yoga. The goal of Karma Yoga is freedom, moksha. To change the content so much so that nothing antagonistic is left there. Nothing harmful is left there. To change the content according to your heart's desire. So that you can be free of limitations. The second path is the path of knowledge, knowing, Jnana Yoga. Consciousness is changed by the content on the second path. On the first, content is changed by consciousness. On the second, just the reverse. Consciousness is changed by the content. On the path of knowledge, you simply try to see what is the case, whatsoever it is. That's what Krishnamurti goes on teaching. That is the purest path of knowing. There is nothing to be done. You have just to attain to clarity, to see what is the case. You have just to see that which is. You are not to do anything. You have simply to drop your prejudices. You have to drop your concepts, notions, which can interfere with reality, which can interpret reality, which can color reality. You drop all that you carry in your mind as a priori notions And then let the reality be there, whatsoever it is. You just see it. And that changes you. To know the real is to be transformed. To know the real as the real, then you cannot act in any other way than the way of reality. Once you have known the reality, reality starts changing you. Consciousness is changed by the content. The goal of the path of knowledge is truth. The goal of karma yoga, the path of action or will, was freedom. The path of knowing has the goal truth, Brahma. Thou art that. Let that be revealed, then you become that. Once you know that, you become that. By knowing God, one becomes God. Thou art that. That is the most essential phenomenon on the second path. Third is bhakti yoga, the way of feeling. Love is the goal. Consciousness changes the content, and the content changes consciousness. The change is mutual. The lover changes the beloved changes the lover. On the path of will, consciousness changes content. On the path of knowing, content changes consciousness. On the path of feeling, both interact. Both affect each other. The change is mutual. That's why the path of feeling is more whole. The first path is half. The second path also another half. But the path of love is more round, more whole, because it has both in it. Let both change each other. Let both meet and merge into each other. Let there be a unity as men and women meet, and there is great joy. Let there be an orgasm between consciousness and content, between you and reality, between that and thou. Let it not be only a knowing. Let it not be only partial. Let it be total. These are the three ordinary paths. What is this fourth way? Neither of action, nor of knowing, nor of feeling. Then what is this fourth way? Because these are the three faculties. The fourth way is the way of transcendence. This is called in India Raja Yoga, the royal path. The fourth way. Neither consciousness changes the content, nor the content changes the consciousness. Nothing changes nothing. All is as it is, with no change. Content is there, consciousness is here. And no change is happening. No effort to change is there. This is what I mean by being. With all the three paths, something remains in the mind that has to be done. With the fourth, all beginning disappears. You simply accept whatsoever is. In that acceptance is transcendence. In that very acceptance you go beyond. You remain just a witness. You are no more doing anything here. You are just being here. The goal is not possible with the fourth way. There is no goal. With the first, the goal is freedom. With the second, truth. With the third, love. With the fourth, there is no goal. Zen, Sufism belong to this fourth. That's why Zen people say, the pathless path, the gateless gate, because there is no goal. The goalless goal. We are not going anywhere. We are not striving for anything. All that is needed is already here. It has been all along here. You have just to be silent and see. There is no need to change anything. With the fourth, the myth of change disappears. And when there is no need to change, joy explodes. Because the energy that gets involved into changing things is no more involved anywhere. That energy is released. That released energy is what is called joy. And sometimes it happens unknowingly to you too. Sometimes sitting alone, doing nothing, you feel something happens. You cannot believe what it is. You cannot even trust it what it is. It is so incredibly new, so unknown. It happens to everybody. Rare moments, for no reason at all. You cannot figure it out. You cannot reckon why it has happened. You have been lying in your bathtub and suddenly something happens. The mind is not rushing in its usual way. The body is relaxed in the hot water. You are not doing anything. You are just being there. Suddenly it comes. The silence of the house. The birds singing outside. Children playing in the street. All is there as it has been, but with a new quality. There is great restfulness, a relaxation. Something in you is no more striving for anything. You are not goal-oriented. You are just here now. If you start thinking about it, what it is, you miss it immediately. If you start trying to get hold of it again, you will never get hold of it again. It comes when it comes. It comes when the right situation is there. But you cannot create that right situation. If you try to create, you will fall into one of the first three ways. If you try to change the content, you will become a follower of the path of action. If you try to change your consciousness through the content, you will become follower of the second path, the path of knowledge. If you try that both should meet and mingle and merge, then you will become a follower of the third path. But if you don't do anything, not willing, not knowing, not feeling, you just relax, then there is witnessing. Witnessing it, not knowing. Witnessing is totally different. In fact, it cannot be said that you are witnessing. You are not doing anything, not even witnessing. You are just there. Things are happening. Suddenly a bird starts singing outside and you hear it. Because you are there, so you hear it. There is no effort to hear it. There is no deliberate concentration for it. Just the other day, I came across a Sankhya Sutra of immense beauty. Dhyanam nirvisyam mana. That's how Sankhya Sutras define dhyan. Meditation is mind without thoughts, without feelings, without will. Meditation is consciousness without any striving. Dhyanam nirvisyam mana. There is no longing for any object. You are not striving for anything. Then you are in dhyana. Then you are in meditation when you are not doing anything. On no plane you are doing anything. All doing has simply disappeared. There is utter silence inside you and absolute rest. Let this word rest be remembered by you. Relaxation. You cannot do it, remember. How can you do it? If you do it, you cannot relax, because then relaxation becomes a goal and you become a doer. You can only understand it. You can only allow it to happen. You cannot do it. You cannot force it. It has nothing to do with your doing. You can only understand how it happens and you can remain in that understanding. And it comes. Nirvishyam mana. When the mind is with no desire, no object, no goal, not going anywhere, then how it can be tense? It is not a state of concentration. It is not concentration at all, because concentration will need striving. Concentration is a kind of tension. It is not even attention, because attention is also a kind of tension. The Encyclopedia Britannica defines the word meditation as concentration. That is absolutely wrong. Meditation is not concentration. Concentration means mind striving, forcing, willing, trying to do something, putting one's whole energy into one direction. That's what concentration means. Meditation means when you are not putting your energy into any direction, it is simply overflowing. Not going in any particular direction, simply overflowing, like a fragrance overflowing a flower, unaddressed, neither to the north nor to the south. It is not going anywhere, or it is going everywhere. Wherever the winds will take it, it is ready to go. It is utterly relaxed. This moment happens sometimes to you. I would like you to remember that this is not something rare that happens only to religious people. It happens in ordinary life too, but you don't take note of it. You are afraid of it. Yes, it happens. Your ego cannot exist there. Your ego is not possible there. Your ego is nothing but all your tensions together. Your ego is nothing but a bundle of past tensions, present tensions, and future tensions. When you are non-tense, the ego simply falls to the ground, into pieces. This is the fourth way, that's why it is called Raja Yoga, the royal path. The other three are ordinary. The fourth is really exceptional. The king is not supposed to do anything. He simply sits on his throne and things happen. The doing has disappeared. Knowing has disappeared. Feeling has disappeared. The king is utterly relaxed. In that relaxation it happens. Sufi and Zen are Raja Yogas, the royal path. Neither consciousness changes the content, nor the content changes the consciousness. This is the fundamental principle. Nothing changes. There is no change happening. Things are. The flower is there and you are there. You don't change the flower and the flower does not change you. Both exist together. It is existence with no motive. Zen people call it nirvana, the goal, the no goal, nirvana. One simply ceases to be. The word nirvana is beautiful. It means as if somebody has blown out a candle. Just few minutes before it was there, the lamp was burning bright, and then you blew it. Now the flame has disappeared into the infinity. It has become part of the cosmos. You cannot find it. You cannot trace it out where it has gone, where it is. It has simply disappeared. There is a Sufi parable. A Sufi mystic was entering in a village, and he came across a small boy who was carrying a lit candle. The boy was going to the mosque. The night was coming, and the boy was going to the mosque to put the candle there as an act of worship. The mystic saw the boy, the innocent boy, his face lighted by the light of the candle. The mystic asked the boy, "Have you yourself lighted the candle?" And the boy said, "Yes, sir." The mystic jokingly asked, then you must have seen from where the flame comes. Can you tell me from where the flame comes? The boy laughed and blew out the candle and said, "Now you have seen it going. Can you say me where it has gone?" Nobody knows from where it comes. Nobody knows from to where it goes. It comes out of nothingness, or out of all, which means the same, and it goes back into nothingness or into the all, which is the same. That is nirvana. One is utterly lost. There is no need to do anything on the part of will or on the part of knowledge or on the part of feeling. Nothing is needed to be done. Because if you do something, you will remain. You will persist a little. Something of the ego may linger on. No change. No improvement. No effort to make you better. But just be.
This was Osho Radio for today. The music you listened to was played by Bindu with his song Inner Sky. After that, you listened to two instrumental pieces of music. The first one is called Explosion of the Heart and the second one Flight of the Dawn. These pieces of music were made during the time that Osho lived in Rajneeshpuram in Oregon. We're going to finish the program with a song by Vedant Anando and it's called Falling Upon. Bye-bye everybody, have a good week, take care and until the next time. Bye-bye and namaste.
Falling up.